Good morning.
Morning, how you doing?
I'm good. Who do I have here? Is this Jeff?
No, this is Jim.
We got Jim, Rob, and Tammy. Danny and Jeff are out today.
Okay. So we got Dan, right? Okay.
No.
Well, good. Well, guys, first I'll give you just a little commercial update, in terms of, my health. You might be aware that I was hospitalized, 2 weeks ago for I had triple bypass surgery. It was unexpected. I didn't plan for it. But be that as it may, they took really good care of me, and I'm on the road to full recovery. So that's what's going on there. Yeah. Yeah, so that's good news.
Shocking news to get from Cindy on the last phone call was...
Yeah, it happened kind of unexpectedly, and I hope it didn't inconvenience you guys too much.
Well,
but,
we were fine.
Yeah, but we're going to catch up and tie up any loose ends anyway, and so... just to start the call, let's start with your agenda first. Is there anything that is touchy-feely, anything that you're not quite fully comprehending? And you can tell me about the pace. So I'm going to let you all chat first, and then let's do a brief review of week 5, get into week 6, and then, we'll wrap it up with any other questions that you may have. So we've got a full-packed agenda.
Yeah, Kurt, we've got our folders in, so we're building out our new folders.
Okay.
I know Dan has told you that rather than, the clients getting a duplicate folder, they're getting, what we call our wealth guide, which
right.
encompasses everything that we go through from, tax planning, estate planning,
sure.
income, investments, health care,
right.
all that stuff.
Okay.
So we're building out the actual folders that, that Dan and Jeff will be using.
Okay.
When they have either a client phone call or an in-office review.
Okay.
So we're still fleshing those out, getting them put together. We'll have them done soon. We've already started actually using them, kind of on a case-by-case basis with the last couple of weeks' worth of phone calls and reviews.
Yeah, and how has the response been with the clients?
Well, I mean, their response is more towards the wealth guide, like I said. So
okay.
obviously it's different than just those medical folders, but they
right.
love the wealth guides, and like you said, it encompasses those things that your supernova folders do,
right.
kind of comprehensively through their financial planning, financial well-being.
Okay.
Those have been a big hit with the clients. They actually remember to bring them with them when they come back in to go through them and update
Uh-oh.
Them.
You're getting them well trained.
Getting
them well trained. That sounds really, really good.
Yeah. And
okay.
Not all the clients have them yet.
Right.
But they will be as they come in. So.
Yeah.
Quite a few of them do.
Okay.
The folders that we're using, the Supernova folders that we're keeping in office that Dan has on his desk in the morning for the day's reviews and phone calls.
Sure, yeah.
He likes them.
Okay.
More comprehensive than just a plain manila folder we used before with, a couple action and note sheets stapled to the inside.
Sure.
So those are working well.
Okay.
We're in the process today of finalizing letters that are going out to probably about the bottom 80 clients.
Okay.
So those are clients that were going to be serviced by both Jim and Jeff.
Okay.
So those will be going out probably in the mail on Wednesday. Those will be introducing Jim as service advisor. So Jim will actually be doing the reviews in the service of those bottom 80 clients, and then we're going to, you know, that's going to be most of them, and then we'll take it from there. So as far as the segmentation goes, we're all good with that. And I think
the organization seems to be, you know, coming along really, really well, and there seems to be a solid delegation of duties and responsibilities. Good. Well, that's extremely positive. By way of review, unless there's something else that you wanted to, you know, share with me. So, you know, just week five, you know, what we're doing here is just reviewing the fact that the pyramid now has been reversed. The folks that control the calendar, Tammy is articulating, you know, pretty much when your appointment time is available to see clients, okay? So she's in charge of that kind of brand dynamic. And how's that going? Is that going pretty good? Has she grasped that responsibility?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so that
you know, the big thing we're going to get into now, Curtis, is, you know, playing that supernova schedule. So,
right.
You know, that's where we're ready to leap off right now. Tammy's taking a look at the supernova scheduler.
Right.
She can tell you how she feels about that. I mean, she already has a supernova spreadsheet, you know, set up that she's been running with for, what, about a year now?
Okay.
2 years.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Well, look, you don't have to make a wholesale change, but, you know, what do we really want to know in terms of schedule? We want to know when you come in on Monday, who's on deck for reviews, who's on deck for client contact, who's on deck for talking about agenda topics. We want to know who those folks are. We want to know that COIs are clearly in the schedule. We want to know that everyone who has got some kind of interaction with you is pre-scheduled, okay, so that nothing falls through the cracks. So if I broke it down succinctly, that's really the essence of it all. Okay, so I kind of think that you all are making really, really good progress. Okay, now all of this is going to start to contribute to you building, you know, your pipeline over the next 24 to 36 months, and so there are kind of the five steps to building COI relationships, centers of influence relationships, which was just to review the discussion in topic five. Okay, you're meeting number one. You're introducing yourself, your supernova service model. You give out the folder. Okay, so the COI is getting their folder. Meeting number two, you're introducing the team. Your five-star model, who does what. And if you can illustrate that, you know, via a, you know, little brochure promotional piece, all the better. Not necessary, but going forward, you should have an introduction of the team. Meeting number three, you meet the COI's team, okay, and you're bringing in your partners to that meeting. And when you bring in those team members, you're really exchanging who does what on the team. so that everybody doesn't say, well, let me just sift through it. Let me call Dan. They know who they should call. Okay? And that's going to take a while because you're training these folks. Meeting number four, you're teaching the enthusiastically endorsed model. And by that I mean when you start to ask the question, you know, in terms of the COI, you're asking, can you enthusiastically endorse the CPA? Can you enthusiastically endorse this estate attorney? And if your client can't enthusiastically endorse, then you want to help them with someone that's in your repertoire that carries an enthusiastic endorsement. So many will say that they have, you know, relationships, but many will not say that they can enthusiastically endorse. So that is the crack in the seam that you want to determine, okay? Because those list of those seam cracks are going to be prospects for you. Any questions on that?
No.
You like this? Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, the three of us that you have, you're talking to today, no. But I know Dan wants us to work on, you know, maybe a little script that we all have. So if Dan brings in a COI to meet
right.
to meet us, to meet Dan's team,
right.
and they ask what we do, we, you know, we have a like I said, a script sort of, so a precise
yeah.
answer and,
yeah.
You know
yeah, I would say that's fine, and you'll probably, once you use that script three or four times, you'll be off script. You know, so I think it's really a good idea.
He said, you know, if I brought, you know, an attorney in here now to meet you guys as a team, he said, I'm a little nervous as to what you might say to them. So,
yeah. So, you know, I'll take it in a couple of spots. Okay. Number one, you're introducing the attorney for the first time. You know, look, it's come up in conversation. That you have an estate planning attorney, they talk to you maybe once a year if you're lucky. And in our relationships, we've worked out, you know, a number of relationships with some very dynamic top-drawer attorneys with the following credentials. And I would like to suggest, on a cost-free basis, that you meet with them to get a better understanding of what they can do for you and how they coordinate with our team. Would you be happy with that? Oh, well, sure, of course. And then you're going to pass the baton and make the personal introduction. It's not like, here's the card, go call this guy or go call this woman. It doesn't work that way. It is a personal introduction. And as we get into client acquisition, you're going to find out how valuable that personal introduction is. I mean, if I got to a point where with 100 relationships, you got 3 personal introductions, what would that be like? Just 3. Okay. So, on meeting number 5, you're having the first scheduled meetings with your COI, agendas, the folder, that you're going to send out an executive summary of agreed upon steps. And I think I may have sent you an article that talked about, you know, how you use the executive summary to establish an emotional connection with the client. So what we're doing here now is we are moving these folks to this whole rationale for personal introductions and the enthusiastically endorsed model. And so you're going to practice that. And you're going to get that down. And if you need some help on the scripting of it, I want it to be very matter-of-fact, just like I gave it to you. And then I will help you with that. Okay. Let's go into to the materials for week number 6. OK? Okay. Now, so this week, you focused on the Mini-Me folders. You're starting to schedule COI meetings, prospects, clients within your niche market. Now, you know, I never tell an advisor that you can't work on a particular niche, okay? Because that's not really what I do. But what I can tell you is to really look at the strengths of your demographics in your service area and ask yourselves a fundamental question. Is the biggest opportunity exist within that particular market? Okay? So in that Boston area, you know, I got to say, I looked at some of the demographics, the number of entrepreneurs, the number of folks in a tech-centric faction, those that work in financial services, and probably healthcare are a few of your top demographics. So you can't ignore them all. You can't grab them all. But you have to be clear about what services that create opportunities for you. Any more thought to what those centers of influence and niche markets ought to look like?
I think Jeff's going to figure out some of that stuff for himself. But, you know, Dan's pretty well covered on both sides of that, I think.
Sure. Okay. Good. All right.
You know, we have our own big niche, obviously, here is Verizon.
Right.
Both union and management. We have quite a few retired and currently working employees at State Street.
Sure.
Get a couple people from General Electric.
Okay.
Tap into that a little more.
Right.
You know, maybe Gillette would be a one to try to get into, but and we do have a few nurses that are clients, so
okay,
that's a little hotter. It depends what hospital they work at.
Right,
a lot of them, you know, have some money in their 403B, but their
right.
pension it doesn't make sense for them to roll over a pension because their cash value compared to the annuity is
right.
Great, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
They get a great annuity payout versus the cash value of their pension. So.
Yeah. Now here's where I'm going to, you know, gently nudge you guys, is that there are a demographic number of relationships in that two to $3 million category. They are corporate execs, they're entrepreneurs, they have a need for many of your services, and also in that philanthropic. So my gentle nudge is to constantly think about the agenda as it relates to that segment that you are getting so familiar with right now. Okay? All right. So that takes us into the week six. And one of the most important aspects of week number six is your 24-month call topics. You know, these are going to be the topics that you're going to use to educate the client. And it's going to be your batch processing methodology of topics that they're going to have a need or knowledge about. So if we look at topics for a moment, just in general, you know you got to do a year-end review. You know you got to give people an update on what you see, you know, in the marketplace, okay? So, you know you got to do something mid-year, okay? You know you got to deal with tax minimization strategies, and you know you got to be socking away money for the future. So, you got six topics that are already pre-done for you. And then you've got these ancillary educational topics. Do they even know that you deal with mortgages? Do they know that you deal with long-term care? Do they know that you deal with the life part of the estate? And so what you're going to do with these topics is you want, if I call one of your clients and they say, well, this team clearly understands, even though I don't take advantage of everything that they offer, they've got a broad-based offering that's going to be useful and helpful for me. Okay? That's what you want to have. So when something comes up in conversation, somebody's taking a note and says, oh, the Quincy Group, they deal with that topic. Okay. So that's the purpose of the 24-month call topic. Any questions on that so far?
No.
Okay. All right. So you know, you now have the rationale for the calls and some of the topics you can discuss. So going forward on week number six, you're going to be building, you know, the rest of your mini-me folders. The assistants or your Tammy agenda should go out with the topic of discussion. And the real reason for these agendas is we want these folks to know how important their sessions are for you. Okay? So start planning your monthly topics. That would be an agenda item for further exploration next week. Now, I've done some talking, and you all have done some talking. What else might be on your mind relative to anything that we've covered today?
Good on that. I mean, I thought we were going to get to the scheduling part of it.
Okay.
So
the scheduling part of it is really using the tool. That is, I take it that there hasn't been a direct communication yet between Cindy and the team. Is that correct?
Right, just Cindy and Tammy.
Okay. So number seven, to be honest with you, you guys are a little bit ahead. You may think you're behind, but you're not. Chapter seven gets into accountability, scheduling, and workflow. It's completely dedicated to that. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call Cindy and see if we can't get, you know, 30 to 45 minutes on the tool this week, depending upon your schedules and flexibility, and then have her communicate that with you, because it's prime time for that right now. It's kind of it really gets closure to your agenda, your schedule, your delegation of duties and responsibilities. But I have to say, you all are making really good progress. You really are.
Yeah, I think I think we're doing well. I think we're getting there. I know we're not going to – Cindy's the one to get into the nitty-gritty about the schedule. That'll be great
sure.
to have some time with her this week.
Sure.
But in your experience, Curtis, with other – with advisors and – probably more importantly, their admins that do the scheduling, their
right.
service team. Do you have any feedback on how successful it's been giving a client their service schedule, you know, months in advance as we try to, you know, make somebody, your phone calls are on the second Tuesday at 10 o'clock of every month and
right.
Tammy's got some worry about giving, especially the face-to-face reviews, you know, 6 months or more out in advance. So,
yeah. Great question.
We have
great
a
question.
Lot of different clientele in our client base. We have a lot of people that part time, a lot of people that still work full time, some people
right.
that are retired, they watch their grandchildren.
Right.
Every single time we've booked an appointment out, even 3 months ahead of time, I've had to reschedule every time.
Okay.
So we did try that initially.
Okay.
But then I went back to calling. My concern is that Dan has a model week, and
right.
you know, I make the phone calls and confirmation calls the week before, and then 3 out of 5 people cancel, and then you're back to square one, like
okay.
him not having the appointments. I think
okay.
pre-scheduling the phone calls is perfect because I used to do that. I used
right.
to schedule every call.
Sure.
But the face-to-face, I do have some concern about.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's going to take a while to train them up. So let me answer your question in a couple of phases. Number one, if they don't think the call is important, they're not going to be on it. If they think, hey, it's just another meeting with Dan or with one of the other individuals, they may not think the importance of the call, which means an agenda has to go out with 2 or 3 hot topics for discussion. Okay? That means that if I'm not on that call, I'm going to be missing out. So they got to feel that they're missing out if they're not on that call, okay?
Okay.
The next thing is the when they sign up for the call and they cancel, then this is the kind of the language that has to take place. Sorry, we missed you on our scheduled appointment on Thursday at 4, okay? I'm sure something must have come up. What we'd like to do is reschedule this call for the following week on Wednesday or postpone the call for a regularly scheduled monthly time. And it's got to go come down exactly like that. Now, what kind of message do you think that sends to the client? It sends a message, yeah, that you, number one, you think that they're very important. Number two, that Dan's time is important. And number
right.
three, you got something important to discuss. But if they think it's cavalier and there's no consequence, then it's not going to be important to them. So you have to stress it that way. It's
yeah.
those little kind of words that you say.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think a lot of times that the clients don't really respect our time.
Oh,
they don't,
no question.
They don't treat the appointments with their financial advisor the way they do with their doctor or their dentist or their attorney at, or their accountant at tax time.
Right.
So, yeah, there needs to be some, I think, yeah, client training.
And here's the other part, is when you do something really, really well for somebody, when you have just saved them $25,000 in estate settlement costs, when you have just prepared for that first year of that child's education, you cannot give anonymously. You have to tell them what we just accomplished. It's almost like a celebration. God,
right.
we got the first year of college funded. Isn't that great?
Right.
And that's the benefit of working with professionals like us.
Right.
So
just
what we can, yeah.
The exact summary, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have, we take for granted the work that we do. And I just want to raise the level of work that you do to the upper level. But the questions are great. And these are the kinds of things I want to hear as we work through these things. And yeah, they're the same questions everybody has, so don't worry.
Yeah.
All right.
Tammy's got the most experience with that and has had problems in the past, but I think if we can get the clients to treat our schedule the way they do the other professionals that they deal with schedules, then it won't be too bad. We should have a pretty good success rate on booking and keeping and confirming appointments. So,
you know, and look, if the time is for a 15-minute update, make it a 15-minute update.
Right.
If the time is for review, which requires more time, make it for a review. They need to know the nature of the call.
Yep.
So you're getting ready to turn this into a well-oiled machine. You will get there. You will get there. All right. Anything else I can help you with today before we conclude?
I'm good. Anyone else have any questions?
I'm good.
No, I think we're good,
all
Curtis.
Right. Okay, I enjoyed speaking with you.
Glad to hear you're on the mend.
Hey, on the mend and getting back in fighting shape. You know, I was working out 5 days a week, you know, at the gym. 40 minutes of cardio, 20 minutes high-intensity elliptical. And they found a tear in my artery. And, hey, so, you know, you get sidelined for a little bit. But the doctors, they don't want you to just sit on your butts. They want you to get out and get active. So, you know, sorry for any disruption in my service. But, you know, I'm feeling good, feeling strong.
Yeah, Cindy said you'd be back kicking ass better than ever, so.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate that. All right. We'll talk to you guys, okay?
All right, bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.